We hold these truths to be self-evident. That all men are created equal and endowed by their creator with certain inalienable rights.
We have a power!
And we've raised a spoiled brat representative government that needs to be taken to the woodshed. Are you satisfied with the government that owns you? There are churches who refuse to allow us to use their facilities to teach.
Unspoken or even sometimes spoken rule that religion and politics don't mix. You wouldn't dare speak out against the government or somehow resist.
Christians have to be involved in politics. God commands it.
Every turn of event through history hinged.
One person will stand up.
Upon a single person.
And then everybody else will stand.
A gym member, surrounded by a crowd of supporters, was placed in handcuffs.
A Tampa Bay pastor has been arrested.
Sentenced to a week in jail.
She also tore up a cease and desist letter.
We have a posterity waiting for us to say, we will not comply, so you will be free. We have a chance to fight without bloodshed. But every time we comply, we establish a future where our children will not have that option.
Why do we sit down when all should be standing? And why do we back down at the grid?
Rise and shine, liberty-loving patriots. Welcome to the Chris Ann Hall Show. Chris Ann Hall here. KRISANNEHALL.com, where we are liberty over security, principle over party, and truth over your favorite personality. So happy to have you with us here on this great Wednesday. I know you're loving watching us on Rumble, on DLive, on Twitch, on Facebook, and listening to us on Spotify, iTunes, Google Music, and Anchor FM, right, Christian? Christian, did you mic up? Go ahead, tell them.
I did.
You did? Okay, well, I'm glad I didn't have to tell you. Thank you for taking the initiative to do so. I was telling everybody at lunch today, go ahead and throw them that picture up there. We had lunch today with the students from River School of Government. I talked about River School of Government yesterday, didn't I, Christian? Anyway, River School of Government, where JC and I are professors. And so that's our class right there, the River School of Government classes. And they surprised us with a lunch today. And I was telling them at lunch how much I enjoy, how much you guys enjoy hearing from Christian every now and again. He pops in, you don't get to see him. We're working on the Christian camp. We are working on the Christian camp. But go ahead, Christian, tell everybody hello and how happy you are that they're joining us today.
Hello, I am so grateful for you being here.
Christian's like my deadpan guy, right? I'm telling you, you need to stop turning your speaker off because then you don't get to like say things. Like my husband, he says, it sounds bad when I leave it on. So, Christian, throw up that YouTube thing so you can give you everybody the bad news. Here it is, guys. We have been permanently banned. Remember, I was in YouTube jail until July 1. Well, I just got this notice that I am permanently banned. They have removed all my content from YouTube and I'm not allowed to have, I don't have a YouTube channel on this Google account. I think maybe we should just go ahead and make another Google account. Yeah, they can't hear you, Christian. So you're talking and they can't hear you.
They could use Mr. JC's.
Yeah. You know what? Then he would get kicked off and then he'd be mad at me for being kicked off. Well, I had, oh my gosh, how many followers did I have on YouTube? Like 60,000 or something crazy like that, didn't I?
I think so.
60,000 viewers and now poof, all gone. But at this point, they're not looking for me anymore because I've been off for a couple of weeks. I just thought I'd read to you what YouTube sent to me. They said, "Dear or hi, Chris Ann Hall. We have reviewed your content and found severe or repeated violations of our community guidelines. Because of this, we have removed your channel from YouTube. We know this is probably very upsetting news, but it's our job to make sure that YouTube is a safe place for all. If we think a channel severely violates our policies, we take it down to protect others, other users on the platform. But if you believe we've made the wrong call, you can appeal this decision. You'll find more information about the policy in question and how to submit an appeal below." What a farce, this whole appeal process, because every time they've taken an individual show down, they always say, "Oh, but you can appeal." First off, they never provide you with what specific grounds, right? Just some general arbitrary thing like you violated. Oh, there's one right here. Let me share that one with you. So we think it violates our medical misinformation policy. And it was an episode about the FBI monitoring and correcting your personal text messages. It was episode 1353, right? And so, again, we know this may be disappointing, but it's important to us that YouTube is a safe place for all, right? This is why we are liberty over security. Because you know what safety really means? Safety means rubber rooms and straitjackets. And gags in your mouth. That's really what safety is. You are never more safe than when you are in a rubber room in a straitjacket. And that's what these people want to do to us socially. A rubber room with a straitjacket in the world, in your speech, in your conduct, in your beliefs, in your thoughts, all of that. But then you go through the appeal process. They don't even tell you actually what their decision was. How do you appeal something when you have no direct understanding of, as we say, the charges against you? So that's why this whole thing is an absolute farce. So you will have to find us. You will have to find us on Rumble, DLive, Twitch. We're still on Facebook now. Every once in a while, we pop in on Instagram Live. But I ran Instagram Live yesterday, and it was a lot of fun. But there was so much content missing because Instagram can't see when Christian puts up videos for you. We're not tied in like that yet. Maybe one day we'll be able to do that, but we don't. I wanted to give you the, the who takeover update, right? The whole, the World Health Organization is going to take over America. That who, I want to give you a who update, because you know I've written an article about this at chrisannhall.com called Biden's Panic Propaganda. Go to chrisannhall.com, read the article, Biden's Panic Propaganda. I've also done episodes on it. Go to Facebook, Rumble, DLive, Twitch, and all the audio versions and listen to the podcast 1444, and you'll be able to see that, all the solutions there. But I kind of am following up on this because you guys, not me, I'm talking to you. You guys have ruffled some serious feathers by sharing my content. Seriously, I have people in high pundit political places that are now coming out trying to debunk what I'm teaching you, but they fail miserably at it. They just and they don't get it, right? But they just want to save their panic propaganda. See, the conservatives benefit off this panic propaganda too, because it's all about donors, it's all about followers, it's all about power from social media and their political influence, right? So I'm gonna give you a who update when these things come about. And go ahead, Christian, put up this podcast that comes up from real.ivory. So it's real.ivory podcast. And what's interesting is that real.ivory has this podcast on the WHO taking over. But I wanted to show you not that, but Christian, you if you scroll down the side, she talks about how something that Senator Pat Toomey posts in response to this, right? They're saying these things, guys, because you're making waves, because you're sharing this content. And I am so amazed and overwhelmed at how many of you are sharing this. And I want you to know it's working. The message is getting, anytime they change their message, in, you know, we're making waves, and keep doing it, keep sharing it, right? So Pat Toomey, who claims to be a constitutional conservative, who claims to be a constitutional understander, is not. He simply doesn't get it. So let me read to you, for those of you who are listening and can't see what Christian has up there on the screen, what Pat Toomey says. He says, quote, as you may know, if the president of the United States decides to sign an international treaty, two-thirds of the United States Senate must ratify the treaty before it takes effect. I take this constitutionally mandated responsibility very seriously, and I'm strongly opposed to any attempt to ignore the constitutional authority of the Senate. Now, here's where he pops the rails, right? Because right now we're like, yeah, Toomey, that's right. Okay, here's where he props the rails. That said, the president has the ability to enter into executive agreements and political commitments between heads of government without the consent of government. Mr. Toomey, I'm searching for that article section and clause on that one. Because remember, if it's not delegated, now these are not my words. These are actually Alexander Hamilton's words. These are James Madison's words. These are John Jay's words. These are all the people that I'm sure Toomey would call an expert on the Constitution. James Wilson. You see, they said if it's not specifically delegated, then it is not a power, right? It's not an authorized power. So I would like Mr. Toomey to explain to me, where exactly in the Constitution does the President of the United States have the authority, the ability to enter into executive agreements and political commitments between heads of government without the consent of Senate? Because, I mean, I'm really interested. I'm with all genuine honesty, I'm really interested in what Mr. Toomey has to say about the where that is in the Constitution. Because if the response then is, oh, it's not the Constitution, the Congress authorized the president to do that. The next question, students here today, is where in the Constitution does it authorize Congress to add power to the president? Because you see, that power doesn't exist either. To add power to the president, you have to actually amend the Constitution through Article 5 process. And then guess what? You can't do that with a simple law. I mean, seriously, this is no-brainer stuff. Now, he does get this part right, but not for the right reasons, mind you, because he's already lost us with the whole has the ability to do this garbage. He says, however, neither executive agreements nor political commitments are binding under domestic U.S. law. No, Mr. Toomey, that would be Article 6, Clause 2 of the Constitution that says that they are not binding, but, you know, whatever. And both can be revoked. Ooh, that's thunder. I wonder if they heard that. Maybe. And both can be revoked or reversed unilaterally by subsequent administrations. See, this is the whole federal-centric problem that we have here. Federal-centric. That the president can somehow be authorized a power, Congress, that doesn't exist constitutionally. And then the only way you can reauthorize unconstitutional power is for another president to come and play. Are you stinking kidding me? What president of the United States, incoming from whatever party, is going to acquiesce to less power? Right? Oh, gee, I'm president. I don't think I want that power. Well, here's the issue, guys. Here's the big issue. Okay? The solution is still as I have been explaining it. Who has the power to revoke this deal? I'll tell you who has the power to revoke this deal. That's the states and the local governments. We don't need to wait for a president to come and decide he doesn't want that much power, for Congress to revoke that power. We don't have to wait for any of that. Okay? We have governors, we have legislators at the state level, we have sheriffs at the state level that can and should simply step up and say, no constitutional authority whatsoever. You are not allowed to exercise this authority, and anything you do under the pretended authority you assert will be null and void. By the way, that's not my words. That's actually, once again, Alexander Hamilton, James Wilson, and all the people who actually ratified and wrote the Constitution said, this is not what you're allowed to do. And the states, by the way, that's also Article 6, Clause 2, which says the states are not bound by things that are not found in the Constitution. So, Mr. Toomey's explanation may sound really good. It's not. Okay? It's not. It's not accurate. So, go to libertyfirstsociety.com, take the class on the power of the president, and understand how limited his authority actually is. Do you know what, Christian? I had someone on, I don't remember if it was Facebook or Instagram, actually argue with me that the Constitution gives the President of the United States broad unilateral authority. I don't even know. These people just totally talk out of their butts. I don't even know. Because all you have to do is go to Article 2. That's the sum and total of presidential authority. And by the way, the first half of the of Article 2 just establishes the office. It's the second half that holds the authority. And the president of the United States has absolutely no unilateral authority except to offer pardons and reprieves for federal crimes and to unilaterally call emergency sessions when certain criteria, certain circumstances fall in place. So I don't know where they get this whole broad unilateral authority. Hey, Christian, we found something really cool on Instagram. Remember I said it's all you guys sharing this stuff, right? It's all you sharing this stuff. I want to show you something. There's a group. Did you put it up? Okay. There's a group called Conservative Stoners. I just think that's a beautiful liberty name, Conservative Stoners. And they have made this whole picture chart. If you're watching this on your phone, you're not going to be able to see this. I don't think you can make this any bigger, can you? It's pretty big? Okay. And it says, no, Biden and the WHO do not have the authority to surrender U.S. sovereignty. And look what they did in this beautiful picture. Article 2, Section 2, Clause 2 talks about the treaties. Article 6, Clause 2, the Supremacy Clause. And then they go into the president does not have autonomous authority to independently make deals with foreign countries. That's what we just talked about. We do not need Congress in the last panel to stop this agreement. It would be unenforceable. There has never been any agreement between the U.S. and the WHO that has been ratified by two-thirds of the Senate. In order for the WHO to take sovereignty of America, it would have to take the sovereignty of 50 individual sovereign states. We are not one sovereign state. We are 50. The answer to this does not lie with Congress. Congress does not own the president. The solution lies with the states. The states are not bound by any agreement with any foreign entity or organization that has not been ratified by two-thirds of the U.S. Senate. Stop letting them distract you. And then it says source, episode 1444, chrisannhall.com. How awesome, guys. How awesome is that? I mean, this is on you. I am bragging on you guys right now, totally and completely bragging on you, because without you, we would not be making these huge waves at all. And so I'm hats off, conservative stoners, hats off to everybody who's been sharing all of this. I mean, seriously, let me see if I can go back here on my Instagram page and see, oh, it won't let me see. Oh, I know where. See all the people that have been sharing this. There's just been so many out there who have shared this information about what we're doing in the WHO. I have people who are actually responding in other people's posts and directing them to where we are. And that's really, really, really awesome. Really awesome. I'm very, very happy for you. Thank you, Believer in Training. Believer in Training has been like this mega blaster. And I'm very happy and I'm very grateful for everything that you guys are doing. So I have a funny story up here that I wanted to share with you just as a little, you know, funny thing. Go ahead and put that Portuguese story up there. So this is hilarious. Portuguese angered at influx of Californians who import their problems with them. So there's this mass exodus of California, right? And the irony is this mass exodus of from California is not just conservative people who are sick and tired of Newsom and the whole nanny government thing. It's actually the liberal left who are fleeing California because they're tired of the consequences of their liberal left ideology, right? So what they're going to do, like a cancer, they're going to leave that area and go infect another area. And in this case, it's Portugal. And there's this article that's talking about this whole influx, new influx of people into Portugal. And the last tagline on the article is, Californians, please go home. I mean, seriously, at what point in time do you not catch a clue that you are the disease? So, I mean, that's just amazing. Hey, we're going to take, a minute intermission. I'm going to show you a video that Christian made in this just short minute intermission, and then we'll come back with the big story of the day.
One thing to realize, there's something that needs to be done. But there's a whole nother thing in knowing what it takes to stand. You've got to count the cost. The only way you can do that is if you are filled with the Spirit, filled with truth, and filled with courage. Samuel Adams said, "No people will tamely surrender their liberties nor be easily subdued when knowledge is diffused and virtue is preserved." He said, "But on the contrary, when the people become universally ignorant and debauched in their manners, they will sink underneath their own weight without the aid of foreign invaders. It's got to be bigger than you. It's got to be bigger than now. It's got to be about our future. You cannot lose your liberty and stay who you are, because God wove that into your spirit and made you free.
All right, welcome back, everybody. I'm getting into our story today, our big story of the day, and this comes also from my Instagram and Facebook page. Christian's going to put up the Instagram post right there. And I said, while America's distracted by overturning Roe, in quotation marks, remember, because if you've heard my show on the Dobbs opinion, and this so-called overturning Roe, you understand why I say overturning Roe with quotation marks there. So while America's distracted by overturning Roe and the who control propaganda, the Supreme Court just held that people have no right to challenge executive agencies in court when they take your life, liberty, or property based on bureaucratic mistakes. Don't worry, it will be spun as a victory for conservatives, just another giant leap for bureaucratic power while no one is watching and tribalism cheers on. I have my glasses on because I have to have my glasses to read it. This is, I actually have in front of me that Supreme Court opinion that came down yesterday. It's in a case called Patel v. Garland against Merrick Garland, the Attorney General. And what's really interesting is how the court split in this. And so I want to give you just what Neil Gorsuch, just the first few opening statements of Neil Gorsuch in his dissent. Okay. So he actually voted against this majority opinion that I just told you about, this massive bureaucratic empowerment decision by the Supreme Court. I cannot even imagine the fallout from Patel v. Garland. We thought in our constitutional world, the ones that are actually constitutionally minded, the ones who actually understand how limited government is supposed to be and how executive agencies are bureaucrats, not elected people and not authorized to make law, right? So those of you who are legal geeks out there with me, you will remember the Chevron case, okay? So those of us who are limited government, constitutional government, knew how damaging Chevron was. But this, oh my gosh, this Patel v. Garland makes that look like, I don't know, like somebody's kindergarten class. This is a massive, massive of elephantine proportions power grab by unelected bureaucrats. Now, Gorsuch is the only justice in my opinion. I told this, JC and I were sitting at home yesterday and I just sort of just shook my head. He's like, what's up? I said, I don't want to say this. I don't want to say this out loud. But Neil Gorsuch is really the only Supreme Court justice up there that has any depth of character. The man votes Constitution, not liberal, not conservative, but constitutional right, individual right supporting opinions. Now, I haven't agreed with him 100%, just 99.999999. of what I've seen, because I don't read every single Supreme Court opinion out there, okay? But here's what he wrote in Patel v. Garland. Today, the court holds that a federal bureaucracy can make an obvious factual error and nothing can be done about it. No court may even hear the case. It is a bold claim promising dire consequences for countless. And it should, and it is such an unlikely assertion of raw administrative power that not even the agency that allegedly erred, nor any other arm of executive branch endorses it. Today's majority acts on its own to shield the government from the embarrassment of having to correct its even most obvious errors. Respectfully, I dissent. I want you to understand what's happened here. So let me tell you the facts of the case. Now, the reason I said this will be spun as a conservative victory. Let me pause here for just 1 second. How many out there, raise your hand, have heard about this case anywhere in the news other than through me? Because I'd really like to know. I'm going to be watching. And I want to know how many of you have heard of Patel v. Garland. And if you tell me that you've heard about it, can you please put a little note in your comment about what you heard about Patel v. Garland? I suspect there'll be very few of you out there that actually heard about Patel, unless you're a judicial nerd like I am, a whole judicial wonk, and you watch this stuff. But I'd be very curious to see how it spun, okay? Because I said that it will be spun as a victory for conservatives, and this is why. So Mr. Patel, this is the facts behind the case. Mr. Patel applied for a driver's license, and I forget what state it was. Applied for a driver's license. Somebody had put it in the comments here. I don't remember if they put what state. But anyway, he applied for a driver's license, and on the DMV check form, it has check boxes, and you have to check the boxes. And it asked Mr. Patel, are you a citizen? And he checked yes. And then what happened was he, in applying for his green card, he was not only denied, but then deported because he lied on this driver's license application. Now, Mr. Patel says that I didn't do that. I didn't lie on there. And there's some bureaucratic mess up that happened. And that's what Gorsuch is talking about here. He says that the court holds that federal bureaucracy can make an obvious factual error and nothing can be done about it. So in determining whether he committed perjury, there was a factual error in the bureaucracy in deporting him, denying him his immigration status and deporting him. And nobody disputes that factual error. Even the agency doesn't dispute the factual error. But here's what the court did. Now, this is why I said it's going to be a conservative champion. Oh, it's this guy didn't deserve to be in the country, and this is a win for tighter immigration. Yay, conservative. And they're also going to call it a conservative win because it was, quote unquote, a conservative majority. And it wouldn't surprise me if you also hear people trashing Gorsuch for siding with the liberals in this one. No, Gorsuch didn't side with the liberals. The liberals would have voted the way they had regardless because, you know, they're liberal with immigration issues. Gorsuch did not side with the liberals. Gorsuch sided with you and me to have limited government, and he's the only one that did it. Now, what's ironic is, or well, not ironic, but appropriate, is that Amy Coney Barrett writes the majority opinion in this case, expanding federal executive power. There you have it. Thomas, I already told you, if Clarence Thomas has a constitutional failing, Clarence Thomas's constitutional failing is that he always sides with larger government. And here you have it. This is the quintessential Clarence Thomas mistake case. He is always going to side with greater power for the federal government. And Amy Coney Barrett is always going to side with greater power in the federal government. But because it was a conservative majority who did it, it's going to be spun as a conservative win and that they did the right thing because tribalism kills, right? Tribalism kills. So when I posted this, I didn't post all the facts about it being an immigration issue because when you're a lawyer, that's not how you look at these things. Yes, the immigration thing will be right on point. So if I have an immigration case, I'm going to be relating back to this. But what you have to understand is when you're a lawyer and you look at the precedent of these cases, how we apply them is we take the skeleton, the structure, the central nervous system of the decision, not the finer fruity points, but the skeleton, the central nervous system of the decision, and then we apply it to our situation. So how is this going to be applied in the future? Exactly how I wrote it. This actually says, this opinion says, that executive agencies cannot be challenged in court. No. Today, he says, the court holds that federal bureaucracy can make obvious factual error and nothing can be done about it, and no court may even hear the case. Amy Coney Barrett writes in this opinion that it's not the job of the court to judge whether the executive agencies are following their rules or not. Well, then, where's the check and balance on these executive agencies? Well, they'll claim it's in the administrative law courts, right? Not in the Supreme Court, but in the administrative law court. Now, I'll remind you, this is why we had the whole opinion that many, many years ago about how the Supreme Court said that, yes, the people in Bonner County, Idaho can actually sue the EPA. I don't know if you remember that case. That would have to be somebody who's been with us for a really long time. So in Bonner County, Idaho, this family had a drainage ditch behind their house that was clogged and flooding their yard. So they went to their county and they said, hey, your drainage ditch is clogged. Come clear it up so it stops flooding our yard. The county says, I'm sorry, the use of our backhoe is 6 months behind. We're not going to be able to get to this anytime soon. If you want to rent a backhoe and do it, go ahead and do it. So they did. Well, the EPA and the Army Corps of Engineers came down on this family and charged them with violating the Clean Water Act because they unclogged a drainage ditch and then threatened to charge them $37,000 a day in fines until they restored the drainage ditch to its original clogged condition. They took this all the way through to the Supreme Court, and the opinion that they got was, you can sue the EPA. They actually had to sue all the way to the Supreme Court so they could have the right to sue the EPA. This opinion completely wipes all that out. Now, if you want to sue an executive agency, you now have to sue for the right to sue so that you can then start all over the federal process and sue again. Now, that's if you actually have the money, the time, and the resources and the representation to sue somebody. How many people have that? Millions and millions of dollars. What this court did today, what he says, it is a bold claim promising dire consequences for countless. The number of people that are attacked by executive agencies will now have no recourse. I mean, it was difficult to begin with, the whole money thing, but, you know, because the executive agencies have your tax dollars, so they have limitless supply of money. which is always ironic because here you have to sue the executive agency. So you have to hire a lawyer to sue the executive agency, and the executive agency uses your money to hire their lawyer to fight you. Does it sound confusing? It is, because that's what happens when you leave the Constitution in a dust pile behind you. So the bottom line of this case, as Gorsuch accurately and quite eloquently simply puts, this is an assertion of raw administrative power that shields executive agencies so they don't even have to do their job right. They'll tell you, go to the administrative law court. So let me tell you how the administrative law court works. The administrative law court is a court run by the agency that you're challenging, where the hearings officer is paid by the agency you're challenging to determine whether the agency you're challenging is following the rules. So you have somebody from the agency determining whether the agency is following their rules. How in the world are you supposed to have a fair trial? No, there's no jury trial in that. And now this Supreme Court, with Gorsuch being the only one we identify as being conservative, siding with the people and limited government, this court has said, no, you have to be stuck where you're stuck with the agency's decisions. You know, the one that's fining you, the one that's attacking you. Well, who cares if they actually made mistakes? Who cares if they actually made a mistake? You can't even challenge their mistakes. Where exactly will be the incentive for these agents and the executive agencies to do their jobs accurately? To not violate the rules? I mean, seriously, if you can do whatever the heck you want, and now the Supreme Court says you can't even be sued. Power-grabbing bureaucrats elected by no one with power to fine you $37,000 a day to take and seize your property. We've done shows on this, but you're not going to be able to hear them now because YouTube's wiped all our content. Egregious attacks on the people through these executive agencies, and now this Supreme Court says you have no judicial check and balance on an executive agency. None. No judicial check and balance on an executive agency. So that's why I'm upset about this. That's why everybody should be upset about this. That's why we need to know what's going on beside the distractions. Okay? And this is the final opinion. There is no appeal to this. They are the highest court already. So we have some work to do, ladies and gentlemen. Some work to do. But all is not lost, because the more we know, the more we can act, and the more we can fix. We are not ready for revolution, unless, of course, it's a revolution of the mind. We are not America is not lost. But what it does mean is that we must spend some time, some resources getting educated and getting activated on the real solutions. Now, we offer you help in that. We want to disciple you that in libertyfirstsociety.com. Go read my article about the WHO on chrisannhall.com. We're going to get our shows posted up on chrisannhall.com soon. Now that YouTube's pulled them all off, but we'll have them up on chrisannhall.com as well. They're up on libertyfirstsociety.com. And of course, you can get them on Rumble, Twitch, DLive, Spotify, Anchor FM, iTunes, Google Music, and the many other platforms that we have available to us, Facebook as well. So thank you so much for joining us today. Don't forget to watch Quite Frankly. I will be on the Quite Frankly show tonight. God bless you guys, and we'll see you next time.
We hold these truths to be self-evident. That all men are created equal and endowed by their creator with certain inalienable rights.
We have a power!